Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Andrea, or as most people call me, Anj.
And this is Trendish. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
I forgot to talk about basketball.
Oh, I assume you're gonna talk about that on your, like, trending recap here.
Okay, well, we're live.
Okay. Just no warning whatsoever.
That is your warning.
Ever.
That is your warning.
So you're saying you want to talk about basketball? Is that how you're opening this up?
I don't know where it fits.
Yeah, me neither.
You're supposed to help me figure it out.
Jamie, how do you feel about the world of basketball?
Okay. Well.
Caitlin Clark, yes or no?
Yes. Okay, so what I didn't cover in the last episode is one thing that's changed, and I feel like I have, like, reignited my passion for basketball.
Reignited, you think? I feel like it's been ignited for a long time.
You think?
Yeah. Well, it was like in COVID, you were like playing basketball by yourself in like the lots.
Was that during COVID?
Yes.
Okay, well, it feels like it's just been exasperated.
Okay, it's bigger now.
Yeah, it's bigger.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know, I've been like a diehard ORU fan ever since 2020.
They started doing well.
Yeah, and they weren't horrible and boring. I'm having a really hard time this year.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to talk about that, but, like, I have so enjoyed following the Iowa basketball team.
Yeah, they're killing it. The girls.
Yes. Like, mm-hmm. The girls sold out the Des Moines game in 45 minutes.
Wow.
Which is Caitlin Clark's hometown.
Yeah, that feels
the guys,
right.
The guys, like, they're not even full. And I'm like, I freaking love that.
Yeah,
crap.
Thank,
like,
God.
Come
give
on.
Them a taste of their own medicine.
But it's not even just her. Like, the whole team is, like,
yeah.
So good.
No, they're really good.
Like, I'm such a fan that I've like, watching recaps.
Who's the coach that I'm, like, obsessed with? The, like...
Oh,
was
you're
that
talking...
the LSU
yeah,
coach?
Yeah, you're talking about the LSU coach.
Yeah.
In the sparkly
wow.
Blazer.
I mean, she could be my spirit animal in a different world, in a different life,
oh,
with
yeah.
a different outfit.
That game, the LSU-Iowa game,
mm-hmm.
like, the coaches were the persona yeah. of the teams. But Iowa plays Minnesota tomorrow, and they're, like, huge rivals. And I feel, like, kind of conflicted, but
yeah.
but not in the sense that, like, I have not cared about Minnesota women's basketball since, like, Shannon Bolden played, which was when I was, like, 14.
No, long time ago.
Yeah, so I'm, like, I feel like I can root for Iowa and not be shunned.
As you yelled at me very aggressively earlier today, you haven't lived in Minnesota since you were 18. So.
That's correct, Anj. That's correct.
Yeah. I think you can stick to that claim.
Good.
That.
Well, I'm excited about that.
No, I love them. I think they're awesome.
Yeah. Well, this episode is not about basketball.
No.
It is a recap of 2023.
Which for Jamie included basketball.
Yeah, it did.
It still does.
Yep. So there's a lot of pop culture things we're going to get to, but first, I'm throwing a zinger out there to see, like, is there any lessons you learned in 2023? Any, like, things you want to take away?
I have all these things typed out, ready to go for all the things you sent me.
To be fair, I didn't think about this at all.
In advance.
I didn't think about this.
My lesson from 2023, I didn't think we were doing anything deep on this one.
I know, I didn't either, but, you know, here
well,
we are.
Well, since you asked it, you've obviously been thinking about it, so
no,
do you
I,
have
no,
one?
No, I truly haven't. I thought about it in this moment.
Well, do you have one?
Not yet.
Okay.
2023 was long.
It was so long.
Oh my gosh.
And I feel like I was three different people in just the 1 year, and so I'm really searching...
I look back, you know me, I keep a list of everything I read, everything I watch,
yeah.
like everything I want to read, everything I want to watch. And so some of the stuff I watched, I'm like, that was this year? Like,
yeah.
The fact that Sarah and I went and saw The Whale this year, which is a horrible
really?
Movie.
Was that this year?
That was
wow.
this year.
Yeah, I can't believe
I'm
you
like,
actually went and saw
I'm
that.
I'm like, who, what person was I?
Yeah, that you went and sat through that.
Yes. I'm like.
That's fascinating.
Who have I become
I wouldn't,
since then?
I wouldn't. And who were you? Who were you then as well?
No.
So I do distinctly remember going into 2023 with like a quote that I really liked and just resonated with me. I'm really not a huge like goal person.
Yeah.
I live in the season and in the moment too much for that. I'm way too adaptable for just like, this is my annual goal. It's just like, when I want it to be a goal, it's going to be my goal. And when I don't anymore, it's not. Like, I am just not wired that way, you know?
Yep.
Like, when I did 75 hard, that was actually a milestone this year. I did that.
Yep.
That was hard.
That was this year.
Didn't lose any weight because I was on that effing medication. So
you're chubby and tired.
Chubby and tired, but doing 75 hard. I just kept thinking to myself, thank God you didn't do this to lose weight, because I really didn't. I, like, needed better habits in my life.
Which is something we need to talk about on a different episode, is your habits and your face routine.
Oh, yes.
Because
I'm going to talk about this one. Don't worry.
Okay, because
when we get to the products.
A couple years ago,
I wasn't doing anything.
We talked about not
bar soap on my face.
Yeah, we didn't even have face wash.
No, I could, if I really wanted to soak up like every ounce of skincare, I really could have like an hour long bedtime routine.
You have done a 180.
Yeah, that's new for me too. We didn't cover that in the last episode.
And I want to be clear, you have judged me a little bit in not having a face wash.
But it's like face wash.
You
like,
did not,
one
product. No, you did not have that.
I have always owned face wash like in my shower. Like it existed even when it didn't. Like, you know, you have like the.
Yeah, I have
clean
a
clean and clear, whatever. Just like in your shower from college.
Yeah, and how long did that bottle last? Forever, because you never used it.
I would wash my face in the shower, but even then, when I took a like full shower, you know? So even then, it was still like every other day, every few days.
Yes, that's me.
So you do a face wash in your shower, though?
Yes, I told you
that. Okay, well, when you told me that, you act like you didn't own face wash in the home.
What I told you was it was a travel size.
Okay.
And then it tastes good because it's like a sugar scrub.
That's what I said. I said, I don't want a scrub. I want a cleanser.
I think it's the same thing.
And you didn't care. It's not.
No, okay.
It's not.
Anyway, we digress. We're going to talk about that in a different episode.
Yeah. So anyway, I was trying to do the habits. Great. 75 hard. Anyway, I went into 2023, truly coming out of 2023, I think a different person. But I do think this one thing remains the same. I had found this quote that it really just resonated with me. And it was, success is when those who know you best, respect you most. And it just really, I was like, that is the kind of person I want to be. Like, I was feeling more challenged in like leadership. My kids were getting older. More of our friends are getting, you know, divorced or separated or just whatever is happening. And I was like, this crap is not a joke. Like, mm-hmm. I think we live so much of our life. Like, what do I want to be known for? Mm-hmm. And I think for me this year was like, okay, who do I want to be known for? Like the what is, I don't know, whatever. It's going to ebb and flow and change. But like, who do I want to be known for? That quote just resonated for me with that. And put a little sticky note on my computer at work. And mm-hmm. So, you know, the 6 times a month I'm at that computer at work. I look at it and I remember that that's a good quote. But I do really feel like it has been a very good navigator in the ways that I want to live my life and the things I say yes to and the things I say no to these days.
Yeah. I just went home for Christmas and I was at lunch with like my aunts and stuff. And one of them said, I used to think that the older you get, the easier life got. And now I just know that the older you get, the heavier it gets.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I
knew that. But also, like, man, that's disappointing.
I think I said on the last podcast, like, yeah, just throw another scar on my back. I mean, I'll carry the team.
I'm, like, glad to know. Like, awareness is obviously always what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, like, every year you advance, the closer you get to legacy. Like, that's just what I'm always, like, at 18, I am not thinking about what I want my legacy to be. Like, what's hard is, you know, my boyfriend broke my heart. Not that that's not hard.
Anja, I've never thought about what my legacy is going to be. Not one freaking time. Like, you said that, and I was like, wait. Is that what I should be thinking about? My legacy?
Okay, well, for some of us, as we get closer... Closer and closer, like, every year, I just think, yeah, at those younger years, it's just not what I was thinking. And I don't bounce around thinking that now, like, what's my legacy going to be? I'm just saying that feels like, you know, when you're like 15 and your mom's like, you are the sum of the five people that you're around, or like what you do now, or the habits you create now, or the decisions you make later. Just
your mom all said the cliche, that. My mom.
All
did
the cliche
not.
Stuff. And you're like, yeah. But then you're like 30 and you're like, man, what I do now is really, that chocolate cake, unfortunately, is going to mean something to me later. You know, at 18, it didn't. At 18, it did not affect my legacy or my well-being.
I still want to believe it doesn't. And, you know, this is going to be a vulnerable thing to say. I'm being serious. I had this thought the other day where, like, you and I have talked a lot about, like, being single and not, like, the mindset of a single person and the mindset of somebody who's married or in a long-term relationship. I think I'm coming to the conclusion for myself that the big difference of somebody who's single and somebody who's not is not that they're by themselves or with another person. It's when their dreams go from being about one person to about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing you think about before you go to bed is like the dream you have for your son.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I don't have that. As a single person.
Sure.
Like, I'm not laying in bed thinking about, like, man, I just, like, I really want this for Liam.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the delineation for me. Obviously, you could disagree with that. But I think, like, that's where I feel loneliness.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't feel lonely as a single person. Like, I'm so content with my life. I love my community. I love the life I have and feel so content in that. Where I feel the divide is like, I am still dreaming for myself because I don't have a person I'm helping like raise to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously help with my friends' kids and, you know, things like that. But I don't know. I'm thinking about that concept. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's like one of those like grasses of green on the other side, because then like when you're a parent, you're like, when am I ever going to get to dream for me? Like, when am I ever going to actually do the thing I want to do? What does success look like for me at this point is like not successful anymore at all. And it's just like, you know, who I raise. And that's literally just my success. People really say that and it sounds cute. I don't want to believe that. I want both. I'm sorry. Like, I want my success to be in who I raised, but I also want them to know that, like, they didn't stop their mom from pursuing their dream, her dream either. And, like, she doesn't resent them for that in any capacity either. And I'm not, like, 60 now figuring out what I want to do with my life. That is okay for some people. I mean, that's great. I'm just saying for my own personal convictions. I think that is like a very difficult, where I'm like, man, it'd be easier to not be thinking about other people's dreams and lives and how they're going to turn out and what you did wrong today and what you did right today. Like, I wish I didn't have to.
Why did you bite somebody again?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Today, Lawrence took a chomp out of Liam's finger. Just, ow. I was like, oh my God. So it's just ironic to me. And I think that's like also the beautiful thing of like the rich community and having both, because I think, you know, depending on where you fall in that space, like, I think you observing your life helps me, like, still be grounded in, like, who I am, not only as a mom. You can lose your identity so quickly and, like, mom, wife, all the things.
Yep.
But, like, also just who I am as a person. But then also, like, yeah, I think you also wrestle with the tension of, like, I'm not thinking about, you know, how Liam's going
to
turn out.
About me.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, there's beauty in both. But I can, I totally see what you're saying.
I don't know how.
Or why you're maybe not thinking about, maybe because I just start talking about legacy.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
But you know me, like, even in my strengths, I just care so much about, like, impact and influence. It's exhausting. I exhaust myself. I'd be thinking about legacy even if I didn't have kids. Be like, what buildings, you know, what, just, it's so much. It's so tiring.
Yeah. Is there anything you hated about this year? like any major themes. Like, and I really saw this consistently come up all year, and it killed me every time.
Yeah, I had to make a lot of really hard decisions all year.
Did you have to make those layoffs this year? Was it mm-hmm. this year? Yeah.
Yeah, had to lay some really great people off. Had to, sadly, that was not only the hard decision. I mean, there was a lot more, I think, you know, especially like in leadership. I remember listening to this podcast. You would remember who I'm talking about if I talked about it. She works at UPS and she came out of retirement. Yes. You know, she's on Andy Stanley's podcast.
Yep.
And she was literally, she's, I think, the CEO for UPS now, or at least back when she released it, she was. Who knows what she's doing now. And gosh, that episode just still resonates with me. But I remember her talking about, like,
that again.
Yeah, how it's not just leadership that's lonely at the top. Like, she's a CEO. And I never understood business dynamics. I don't know what she was saying, but it's like, if you're the CFO, if you're the COO, there's like still space to confide in something, someone laterally, below, beneath, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the role I'm in, it is just it. Like, and I work with some really great friends and some of like my best friends, and I just constantly have to like rein myself back from like, you can't share that, you can't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just a lonely, it can be really lonely. And that is just a forever theme of really hard decisions that are really lonely.
Yeah.
But the good outweighs the bad.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just you have to be really willing to do the bad, or you can come back later.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be, like, graced for the role, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody can compartmentalize.
No.
I'm looking at myself.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard. I love management, but...
Yeah, this is different than any management I've done, for sure. And yeah. I mean, I kind of miss the older... You can just be more hands-on. Like, when I'm, like, a mid-level manager, like, I can be hands-on. Not every decision falls on me. Like, you can kind of blame the upper management in a sense of, like, yes. I know this sucks. We're in it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? When you are that person that's mm-hmm. calling the sucky decision, like, mm-hmm. that's... You really have to be okay with not being like, I pray to God that they can still respect it and still, like, have a, you know, love for me and for us, but I have to be okay not being liked, and that is...
But you're respected.
Yeah, I mean, I like to hope and think and pray, and I also am just such an advocate for it's what you do outside of those moments that make those decisions hopefully better in the long run. Like, I do still work really hard to build relationships.
Yeah.
With the people we lead, and to be like authentic and a lot of that, I obviously can't be fully there. I have to be more and more careful
mm-hmm.
the more and more we get to those places. But I like to hope and believe that that relationship outweighs the difficulty of some of the decisions that, I've had to make.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, yeah, that's been a theme for sure. Up until today. Like, yeah.
I don't know if I've had a theme.
I don't know. It was the longest year, so I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. That's just the first thing that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Other than failure being your theme, that's probably something you didn't like.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, being understaffed has been a theme.
Yeah.
For the last few years. It has felt like I haven't been in one role without holding the lack of there being another person for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just the reality of work. I think you can only do that for so long, though, where you start to feel burnt out.
Yeah, something has to give at some point.
Yeah, I'm like, mm-hmm. what is my role even? That's been hard. Is like, I feel like all year I've been like trying to figure out, like, I don't even know what my role is anymore, because I feel like I've been holding an additional thing.
Mm-hmm.
This whole year, like a just a composite of different things, where I'm like, it's hard for me to then step back and say, like, this is how I should be looking at things from a high level,
because
mm-hmm. I'm so in the details of like holding these things
that
I don't typically hold. So that's been a good challenge for me of like trying to figure out, like, how can I step out of this mm-hmm. and empower somebody else to do it, or teach somebody else how to do it? But it has definitely been a challenge of, like, even figuring out, like, what is the vision for this? Because I feel like I am so buried in the tasks that I cannot even see out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I honestly, I feel like I'm still coming out of that a little bit of, what the heck does this area even fully look like, and what can we actually accomplish given the what it looks like to have a fully staffed team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would say that's a challenge.
Yeah, I think I had definitely felt that at some point in this year. I had changed our whole like org chart as a result of it pretty much overnight.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, well, shoot, what do I do now? But yeah, I mean, like you said, you find your groove, and it's some, I would never go back to what it was ever. I'm even still now like, huh, how do I get this person to go over here and under there? And
yeah,
it's just better. You're just a better leader when you have less, at least direct people that you're managing. And not everybody has that, you know, ability and option, and
yeah,
industries are different, but for the industry I'm in, it's very hard with a very loud, I mean, amazing, but just, I mean, it's a team of leaders, so mm-hmm, it would be very hard to have a lot of them reporting directly mm-hmm to you. And so that was a big change for me too over the year.
Interesting. I've never thought about it like that, that you're just like leading a bunch of leaders. Like, that's a lot.
Oh, they are some of the best. I mean, they're amazing, but it has made my, I tell myself often, like, not a lot of people could do it. It's not a credit to myself at all. It's just mm-hmm, like, give yourself a little grace, because you are literally leading. Like, they are also leaders. Any one of them could be capable to do your job. And I know that very mm-hmm well. Like, mm-hmm, I don't know. I apparently am, but like, almost any one of them could if I really asked them to like raise the bar to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'd want to be honest. I think they may quit if they really understood what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
But it is, I think that's why it's like one of the hardest roles I've been in, is I'm like, it's not like you're not capable, let mm-hmm me tell you. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you don't have great ideas, because gosh, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And man, if I had the revenue or the money to support them, like how do you keep people heard when you can't do that? You know, it's just, it takes so much intentionality, and
mm-hmm
every decision has to have a why, because they are so smart and they are so brilliant, and they are leaders themselves. Like, well, if we can't understand the why, how are we ever going to explain the why to someone else? I get it. I know. Lots of over-explaining, lots of understanding, lots of listening. I have really had to learn how to, like, put a listening ear on and just take it on the chin
mm-hmm
this year. Just say, I know. I'm sorry. That sucks. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we should pivot over to the fun side.
Yeah, because like I said, I didn't know we were doing any deep stuff. I'm over here getting my list out, ready to give all my recommendations.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's move into the pop culture side of the world. I didn't preface this with you, but I would like to do like a runners-up category.
Oh, great, because I have like six of every category, except for...
Movies. Because I just, like, it's hard.
Yeah, I know. For specifically books, albums, and podcasts, those are the three that I was like, wow, I've got a lot going on here.
Yeah. Which category do you want to start with?
I don't know. Any of them.
You choose.
Movies. I don't have a lot of that.
Okay.
I'm going first.
Oh, okay.
Because I've watched about two movies this year, so I'm going to list those two.
Okay, great.
So we're doing top two.
Yeah,
overall.
Top two, and to make sure everybody understands, like, it doesn't have to be something that came out this year, but something we consumed this year.
Yeah. So ironically,
if we watch it in 2023, it can be on the list. It doesn't matter if it came out in 1996.
Yeah. So ironically, I think these may have come out in 2023. I don't know. However, my first one is Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Love it.
So good.
A great movie.
Just so wholesome. Yeah. Like, actually wholesome.
Yeah.
In the right
grace. Great acting.
Yes.
Nostalgic. Loved it.
Really good. I truly can't remember another freaking movie I watched this year besides this one, which I think also came out this year, but the new Guardians of the Galaxy. There are mixed reviews on that for Marvel fans out there.
Did that just come out?
Pretty recently. The, like, newest one.
Okay.
It's a new, like, it's like after the, like, end of the world or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I won't get into it. I don't know. We have a lot of people listening, watching Guardians of the Galaxy on this podcast.
I didn't watch it.
But I do think it's a, like, funny... I just always think that the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are pretty funny for being a superhero movie, so I'll watch them and it appeases my husband.
Great.
Because he watched a lot of chick flicks, so... Yeah. Anyway, those are my top two.
Great. My number one, I still think about it. I love it so much. It has made it into my, like, top movies of all time, is A Good Person. And this is a very sad movie. It is not for the faint of heart. It's Florence Pugh, who I freaking love. It's about a girl who... It's in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling it, but basically, like, kills her fiancé's family. And she gets addicted to drugs. Rightfully so. So yeah. It's, like, her trying to get out of addiction and the grief of that. It is so painful, but incredible. Loved it.
Yeah. We're watching different movies. So what's your second one?
My second one, I'm not a movie person. So, like, yeah. I only watched, like, 24 movies this year.
24? LOL. I just said I watched two. Okay. 24.
And people have mixed reviews about this, but, like, it's going to be the Barbie movie.
Oh, yeah. I wish I watched that.
Like, say what you want about the storyline. I'm not talking about the storyline. I'm talking about the cast. I'm talking about the music. Amazing. I'm talking cast. About the set design. Like,
yeah,
incredible. It was so fun. I thought it was funny. And I just smiled through the whole movie. And, yeah. So, those are my top two. Any runners up? Is it runners up or runner-ups?
I don't know. But I have none. I have one and two. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to say one. And it is Johnny Football.
Oh, would you consider that a movie?
It's a movie.
Johnny Football?
Yeah, it's only one episode. I thought it was a documentary. Well, where would you put a documentary?
Well, I don't know. If that's the case, I have more.
Okay, well.
The Quarterback.
No, that's a TV series because there's 8 episodes. Johnny Football, there's only 1 episode. So
no, there's not.
Yeah.
Johnny Football?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
Well, it's whatever list. It's called, I like it.
It's in my
so
film.
I would definitely agree with that.
I thought Johnny Football was really good.
Really good.
Shocking. Fascinating. I still want to know how that guy is, like, friends with Drake.
Well,
you know, I'm just
makes sense to me. The whole world just, you know, comes together.
Yeah.
Really liked that one. So I guess Swamp Kings would also be documentary.
Nope, that's TV.
Okay.
Because that was more than one episode.
Yeah, I'm tracking. All right. Well, I don't know. All the episodes, all the things I watched, so.
Things I would not recommend from my film.
Oh.
The Whale. That's all I have to say. The Whale.
Don't blame you for that.
I mean, horrible.
I can't believe you watched it to begin with.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, what category do you want to go to next?
Okay, I have books.
Okay. This was a big category for me.
Me too. I tried to limit them and I got them down to 5.
I read 46 books so far. And my goal was 50. And let me tell you, I was proud of myself for not hitting it.
Why?
Because, you know, I, like, love to check things off of the list.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Sometimes it's more about the list than it is a thing that
yes,
I'm consuming.
Yes, I know.
And so for me, I was like, it's actually harder for me to not hit this goal.
You mean, like, this is healthy for you, you're
yes.
saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
you just enjoyed it.
Well, because I didn't force myself to hit the goal and, like, not just, like, enjoy what I was doing.
Good for you.
That's thank great. You. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, go for
I
it.
Only do it if I like it. So
okay,
I don't
you go first.
Are we going to do, like, one at a time, or are we just going to go through all of them?
Well, you went through all of them in the movie, so I assume
well, I just, I only had two, so I have, like, well, 5
no,
listed here.
No, you only do your top two, and then we'll do your
okay,
your
okay,
backups.
Fine. Dang it. We'll open my top two. Okay, first one really was Shoe Dog. Loved it.
It's next on my list.
I will say I listened to it on Audible.
That's what
I'm
gonna
do. And just something about, I'm really liking any kind of, like, memoirs or leadership books more and more, like, on Audible.
They're the best.
I don't know. Yeah, I love listening to them talk about it, whatever. So anyway,
they're
it's
easier.
The story. Yeah. It's the story of Nike, Phil Knight, and honestly, there's just so much reassuring to it. Like, there's so much about his leadership, their company, the early starts of their company that just remind me of, like, where we're at in paradigm shift and even Jared, our founder, and just so many things. I tell mm-hmm. him all the time. It has given me even a lot of grace for him. Like, yeah, well, you really do got to do the crazy thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So I love that one. the opener is still one of the best top of all time, probably, their opening chapter.
By he narrates that.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
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 Because that's all I've listened to so far.
It's good. Yeah. Oh my gosh, if I had to name a second one, this is really hard. But it might be... it's a tie between two, but I'll just say the one first and then my runner-up. All My Knotted Up Life, Beth Moore's, like, memoir or autobiography, whatever she's calling it.
Yep.
I just freaking loved it. I'm like, so... I don't even remember what I liked about it. I read it, it feels like a while ago now, but they're so pure. Just, I don't know. She's so funny. Mm-hmm. She just really loves God and doesn't care about much else, like, and how it affects anyone else. And I just love it. It's just been a long time since I've, like, read something just that authentic to herself.
Yep.
She sounds like she's just been consistent through and through her whole life, and it's just genuine. But it's also funny. Like, I laughed a lot in that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess those are my top two.
Okay. Mine were very hard to narrow down. The first one was Know My Name by Chanel Miller.
Oh, I've heard that's really good. That is really good.
It was so good.
That was on my list.
I thought it was so great that she narrated it. I listened to it.
Oh, really?
And I just, there were so many, like, quotable moments of just, like, her talking that I was like, wow, that is so profound and so mature. Mm-hmm. And her response to the whole thing was incredible. If you don't know, it's about her sexual assault case against a football player at Colorado. I forget which school it is. Yeah, Boulder, maybe?
Yeah.
And
he was the athlete, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, really good book. I feel like, I mean, if it seemed unbiased in her approach to it. It wasn't just like a, I'm going to take the Me Too movement stance because that's where we need to go. It really was like morally and like just like human nature wise, like this is what is right.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. And then the second one was probably Happy Place by Emily Henry. Just a great, like, rom-com type of book. She is such an incredible writer because I've never read anybody that's so easy to get into. It's like you're immediately, like, attached to the characters and, like, you feel connected to them and, like, you're kind of sucked in from... She just seemed like a... I really felt like she was an easy person to get into.
Yeah.
Like, her writing was very well done in the sense that you just connected to the characters right away.
Mm.
So, who would you say are your runner-ups?
Okay, well, I was about to say Traveling Mercies. It's on my list.
Ugh.
Anne Lamott.
Yes.
I honestly can't remember that in 23 or 22.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Have been in 22.
I was going to say, did you go to Mexico this year? Because I gave you
book. After I thought about it, I was like, dang, wait, that, I don't know if I actually read that this year.
I'll allow it because it is in my top books.
It's just, like, of all time, honestly.
It
is easily top three.
Yeah.
I mean, just so good.
Yeah.
If you... Oh, I can't even describe it. It's just the best. But the other ones I actually had written down was The Pastor. I really got into memoirs this year.
Yeah.
Really got into them.
Yeah.
So The Pastor by Eugene Peterson. I needed a book that reminded me of just what a wholesome pastor sounds like, looks like, mm-hmm. acts like. I mean, I love mine, don't get me wrong. But like, you still just don't visibly see... You know,
it's different.
A lot of that. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a pastor in New York, Eugene Peterson.
Is that where they live?
Yeah, did. Not anymore. But they pastored the church like most of their lives there. And just something about like understanding that landscape of like spirituality and culture and just like how he chose to pastor through it. It was just like healing in a lot of ways, honestly.
Yeah.
It was very pure. I loved I just loved reading that world through his lens. And it gave me even more grace than what I already had. And then Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger.
Oh. Yeah, you talked about that one a lot.
Oh my gosh, I loved. He says it's not a leadership book. It's like his, I don't know.
Yeah.
Memoir or whatever. I would probably call it a leadership book, though. Like, I was really challenged in my own leadership, and he never gave principles. It really isn't a leadership book in mm-hmm. that sense. He just kind of writes about, like, his life at Disney, all the things. Mm-hmm. But regardless, it did really challenge me in a lot of ways and just kept my interest. Like, I was like, this is just really, it was kind of like Shoe Dog to me. Just really interesting. And I actually read that one. I didn't listen to it, but I read it, and I really liked that. And then my last two are, one is Our Unforming, De-Westernizing Spiritual Formation. Mm-hmm. That book really got me. And then my last one, if you know me, you've heard me say it a million times, but The Motive by Patrick Lencioni. I actually just fully read that this year. I had read it, I think I read it once like forever ago, like 2020 maybe, but I think I just listened to it. I actually read it again this year, and it is just all about like why you actually lead, really, and what like leading to serve, I guess, really is, and just asking yourself all the hard questions of why mm-hmm. you do what you do and if you actually want to be doing that.
Well, that sounds like a good question to ask.
It is, yeah. Patrick Lencioni is like a leadership, I don't know, thought leader, yeah, I guess, in leadership, whatever. And I really like him and his writing a lot, and he's written tons of stuff. One of my favorites actually is called Death by Meeting, and he talks mm-hmm. about like how to have an actual like productive meeting. I read it in college. It's really, really good. Anyway, he writes lots of books like that. But his most recent is The Motive. And he tells people if they're starting with anything as a leader and you haven't read that, start there or no other book's not going to matter. And honestly, he's right. It won't. It's so true.
I haven't listened to him in a long time.
Yeah.
I will say I did not listen to like a ton of podcasts and stuff this year. And that's usually where I get his stuff.
Yeah, I really didn't listen to many either. The podcast section was harder for me than normal.
Yeah.
I have, like, single episodes I really liked, but there was not one, like, full, which I guess is fitting because we ourselves didn't do anything, so.
Mm-hmm.
Just a silent year.
Mm-hmm.
Other than books.
My runner-ups in the book category, Lessons in Chemistry, the book. The show was great, too, but I loved the book because it obviously was my intro into that space, but, like, such a different perspective on womanhood
mm-hmm.
than you typically see, especially in that, I think it's the 50s era. I just loved the uniqueness of the storyline. I thought it was very new and not done before.
Yeah.
I'm Glad My Mom Died. Cougar Karen, love you. Don't be offended by that.
That's the name of the book.
That. It's just the name of the book.
Yeah, but I've heard really good things about that one.
Really good book. I didn't realize when I started the book that she's from iCarly, but very much like a Drew Barrymore type of like upbringing where like her mom very much like used her child's fame for her own gain and to, you know, like, that's how she funded a lot of her life.
Yeah.
That was a really good book. I listened to that one, and that was narrated by the author, which I prefer when I listen to something. And then the last one I would say is Mad Honey, which is by Jodi Picoult. I can't say much about this without giving a spoiler alert, but I feel like this was one of the most shocking plot twists I have heard in a while, and very much in a like non-traditional perspectives on sexuality and life, and I felt like I walked away from reading that a lot more educated on a different perspective than mine, and I really liked it. Like I liked learning about that and feeling a lot more empathy and appreciation for a different lifestyle than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say about that.
That's good.
TV?
Yeah. I have a shorter list on this one.
I don't have much on this one.
Okay. I'm going first.
Okay.
Because you could take mine. So, the first one is the bear. Mm-hmm. Could scream about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm so blessed because I forced you to
watch
this.
You really did force me. I really thought it was just about cooking, and I was like, I don't care about cooking like that. Once I realized it wasn't, a couple episodes in, I was like, fine. He has a hand tattoo. I like that about this.
Yes,
and
chef.
And he really, yes. Yes, chef. And, oh, it was just so real to me. The Italian culture, the cooking. I mean, they grew up in Chicago, but still, like, just.
Same lifestyle.
So much of it just reminded me of.
Has your family watched that?
No, I don't think so. I asked Ben and Alexis actually recently if they did, and I told them they need to.
They need to.
Yeah, it's just so good. Yeah, I really liked that one. My other one, and arguably, I mean, it ties with Bear. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much. I felt like I lived with them for, like, however many months I watched it, was Suits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I just loved that. It was something about just, like, escaping into that world.
As I'm if obsessed
I
was, like, a New York City
lawyer. I love Donna.
I'm obsessed with her.
My favorite, I think, was Harvey. Unfortunately, but to no one's surprise.
You would.
I just really loved Harvey.
He's so cute.
He is so cute. That helps that I really love him for that. But I just also really liked his character. But I really liked Donna, too. She's like...
And, like, Lewis never came around?
No, I didn't. Didn't like Lewis. Never.
You were
like
never
Lewis
lit up?
Really went down for a moment about Lewis. Like, I can't freaking stand you.
I loved him. I got such a soft spot.
I got up to, like... Yeah, like, you're a good person, you know? Like, I didn't, like, hate him.
Yeah.
There were moments I hated him.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate him. Like, by the end, I was like, okay.
Did you miss Rachel?
You have trauma. Yeah, I really did like Rachel. I liked Rachel's character. It was just kind of, like, a wholesome character. Not as much as, like, Donna. Donna was just, like,
Donna is the epitome of who I want to be.
Yeah, she's, like, just awesome.
Oh my gosh, she's awesome. Beautiful. She anticipates every need. She's funny. She's smart. I love her.
Yeah, I would say Harvey's more so everything I would want to be, but Donna, I did love.
You know, Harvey is the leader out front. Donna is the supportive role.
Yeah,
I prefer the supportive role. Yeah, I always have.
Yeah,
and that's the difference between you and I. So,
but I did like it. Gosh, I loved that show. If we're talking shows too, then I already have to just throw in there the quarterback and Swamp
No, you
Kings.
Can't. You can't.
I just did.
No, you can't. It's
so
my turn.
So you can't take it back?
It's my turn.
Okay.
Okay, my top two, and I'm going to preface. I think one of the reasons I read so many books this year is because I was so disappointed in TV.
Like, yeah, I don't have a lot for TV at the moment.
Like, I read about the same amount as I watched, but I think I enjoyed more of what I read than what I watched. I said Shrinking. That was my number one.
Oh my gosh, that came out this year.
Yeah.
Or at least I watched it this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved that show. Yeah. How did I forget about that one?
That show was...
So good.
So good. It was everything.
I'm worried the second season isn't going to be as, because it started getting, that last episode was like, what?
I just.
Why?
I loved everything about the neighbors.
Oh, everything. It was so good.
And.
It was funny.
Yes. All three of the people who are therapists.
It
like,
was wholesome.
It's about a guy who loses his wife and is a therapist. So it's like him trying to like redefine who he is and get over his trauma and grief. It is one of the best shows.
So good.
I have watched. So that was far the best thing I watched this year. I do want to preface, like, if I had watched something last year, it's not on my list this year. So, like, The Bear is not on my list this year.
Yeah.
Because I started it last year.
I know. That's why I took it, because I knew it wouldn't be on.
Yeah. The other, I mean, this actually is, like, me saying how bad TV was this year, my second thing was Quarterback.
Which was honestly a great show.
It was, but I'm like, of all the things I watched, I'm going to say a football
yeah.
documentary?
I don't know. We got really into football this year.
We did.
Yeah.
And what killed me, I just have to tell the story. Like, my parents and I are home for Christmas break, and they're like, my dad is like literally watching like duck hunting stuff on his phone, and my mom is like falling asleep in the chair, maybe looking at Pinterest, and I'm like, I'm gonna get them to like watch something. So I turn on, like, I log into my Netflix account and I turn on Quarterback, and they both immediately perk up and are like so invested in it, and I was just like so blessed that I could do that.
It was good.
It was good. And, yeah. You know, I feel a lot of things about Mariota because, like, he's such a good guy.
Yeah, a good guy, but that's not what the show's about.
It's not. And he's just, like, not a good football player.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
And same with Kirk Cousins.
Like, I have great so guy. Much I could whine about with it.
Great guy. But just, yeah. Like...
I mean, my coworkers and I have, like, fought about it. Oh yeah. We have, like, the fought.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to share your runners up now?
Well, technically, mine was Quarterback and Swamp Kings, but the one that has not been said that I actually was a huge fan of was Beckham.
Yes.
I really liked Beckham. Agreed. It was, like, a weird, like, documentary year, honestly. Like, yeah. I watched better documentaries than I did shows.
Yep.
But also, Suits went on forever, so I watched that for, like, forever.
Yes.
And then I, like, technically finished Ted Lasso this year,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
So Ted Lasso was, like, my... runner up. It didn't start this year, but at the, you know, season ended this year, and gosh, season 3 was arguably the best.
That scene with his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just rewatched it yesterday. Oh my gosh.
I had like a poor coworker who was like watching it for the first time in our, we would like have it on in our break room because our whole office was like all about it. And so some people would watch it. She like, we didn't know what was coming in that episode. And I still remember like passing her. And she, the episode was over, and she was just, like, sitting there, just, like, staring, and she was like, I am, like, not going to recover. Like, I need, this is too, like, this is too much. And I hadn't watched it, because I'm supposed to be watching it with John later that night, so I was like, I don't know what just happened, but after I watched it, I was like, okay. Can't believe you watched that during work. Wow. Or during your lunch break.
No, I can never.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
I would share, like, Daisy Jones and the Six.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
I loved the book so much more. But I actually really did like a lot of the music from the show. So I would say that. And then maybe Beef. Beef was different than anything I'd watched in a while. Very, like, Asian-focused in the cast, which I thought was really cool. I would be shocked if the director... wasn't the same person as the person who did Homecoming, which was on Prime. It's a very similar style.
Interesting.
Of, like, production. But again, I just did not...
Did Maisel also finish this year? Yep. Oh, well, then I'd add that on.
Yep.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Mm-hmm.
I just forever love that show.
I forever love them.
Yeah.
I did also watch Under Pressure, which is the...
I just, like, started it.
Documentary of the women's soccer team.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. That's on my next
I step. Do imagine the director, or, like, when they thought of the story, it was not how they thought the season was going to go.
Sure.
So, I think they probably had to take some turns they weren't anticipating.
I would believe that. Yeah.
The last thing I'm going to say is Ed Sheeran's documentary.
I didn't watch that one.
Pretty good.
I haven't watched that one.
It's a lot about his friend who died of an overdose, which is kind of shocking. I didn't expect that, but I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Just like seeing into the lens of musicians and stuff. So, yeah. Okay. Podcasts? I don't have a lot to contribute here, to be honest.
So. Yeah, I have single episodes I really liked. I have one full podcast I loved, which was The Art of Teaching. Loved it.
Who is that? Is that
The Art of Teaching was John Mark Comer? John Mark Comer, John Tyson, and Jefferson Bethke.
I haven't listened to that.
A really? Oh, I just like loved it. I really liked it. I don't
awesome.
Have a lot I could say. I love all three of those guys. I think they did a really good job with it. I'd love for them to have, like, another season. I was supposed to go to their conference, but I had to work, and then I didn't. So that was devastating.
Yeah, it really is.
More devastating things to add to the year. But I really like them a lot, and their podcast was really great. Took away some like nuggets I literally still think about to this day. So they talk a lot about, they obviously talk about speaking through the lens of like pastoring,
yeah,
preaching,
yeah,
those kinds of things. And so I like that. But there's just also a lot I took away just as a communicator in that space. But they don't, they also don't only talk about that. Like, they talk a little bit about like the pressures that come with some of those things as well. And like, how do you, especially given the space that they're in, like, find beauty amidst so much pain? Mm-hmm. And like John Tyson's take on that, I just like,
I love him.
Was, I was like, wow, that is so refreshing. Like, I've never, I don't know, he's so simple with it.
Yeah.
And I just had never thought that simply about it. And so it was just really good. 30 Minutes with the Perrys is always also another one for me. There's a very specific episode that I put here, though, because, again, I really didn't listen to podcasts much, yeah, this year, which is, yeah, weird for me. I listened to them a lot, but I actually didn't listen to a ton. However, they did one called Men, Marriage, Sex with them, the mm-hmm. two. I think it might have been a couple on that one. I can't remember. But
we went to Jackie Hill Perry's conference this year.
Yeah, this year.
Wow.
Yeah, it feels like 4 years ago, but it was this year we went, which was also a great... I am not... No offense. It is great for some people, but I'm just not the like audience or person who like loves women's conferences. It's just not really for me.
No.
It's okay if it's for you. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
However, this one, like, I wouldn't even call it. I don't even want to call it a women's conference. It was just really good.
Yeah.
I loved her, but I think John and I relate a lot to them as a couple in general as well. And so that specific podcast I wrote down, but those were the only two podcasts. And then In the Basement with Tim Ross are like the three I really listened to,
yeah,
consistently.
Yeah, that his The Basement with Tim Ross was the first one I wrote down.
Yeah,
I think it, besides like NEF Downs, which isn't new, which is why I did,
yeah, that's one. I've got a couple. Yeah,
and then the other one I said was Back to the Beach with Kristen and Steven.
Yeah.
Which is about Laguna Beach on MTV. So, really wholesome, really wholesome content
on, yeah,
that second one. Really interesting to hear the behind the scenes of, like, what actually was real and what was fake about the show. It's disappointing.
Yeah.
You know? But I love it all the same.
Yeah.
Like, reality TV is so great for what it is.
Yeah. Or what you perceive it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have no runners-up.
I only have runner-ups on a few episodes, if you, as an audience member, are considering listening to them. One, we did mention Annie F. Downs, we mentioned her before, yeah, so she's not new. But one that did come out this year that's new is Christine Kane on Leadership. Mm. It's like specifically what it's called with Annie F. Downs. It's on Annie F. Downs' podcast, and it's called Christine Kane on Leadership. Wow. It's just, I listened to it when I was painting our bathroom, doing one of our little in-house projects, and I remember just having to like stop and pause it for a minute. Like, it was just, I don't even remember. There was just some genuineness, like women empowering women. Just, I don't know. There was something kind of healing about that episode overall. The other one that I would just give like a good shout out to, two more actually. One is The Reason You Can't Move On, Grieve So You Can Leave. That's on Tim Ross's on The Basement that we just talked about. But that specific episode
sounds good.
Oh, Grief So You Can Leave, man. It is, I found it on my story. It's how I remembered I liked that specific episode,
yeah,
but it was, but then I found it on my favorites on my app, and it was really good. And then my other one I really, really loved with him and was with Charlotte Gamble. I have been such a Charlotte Gamble fan for years.
Who is
she? I feel like she's just now circling back. She was like a pastor in, I don't know,
okay,
the UK or something now, yeah, but she has her own podcast, I guess, now. She's just, they aren't, like, pastoring that church anymore, and they're just, like, kind of doing their own thing, whatever it is. Honestly, I haven't followed it, but I have just always really liked her a lot. I have a lot of respect for her and her husband. And so her, she just does not hold back. She does not shy away. And especially not in the episode and not with Tim. It's really good. And then he has one more called Mastering Negotiation.
With Chris Voss.
Chris Voss.
I've read Chris's book.
The Ego... Oh, what is it? Ego...
The Art of Negotiation is the one
I've
read. Oh,
The Art of Negotiation is one. Yes. Yeah. Derek, the guy who works with Chris, Derek has a book called, like, Ego Something and Failure, which was, like, arguably better.
Mm.
Even better. But Chris Voss's was great. I listened to that book, too,
yeah,
actually. That could have made my top books as well. But Yeah, I had, sorry, I had to find it. It's Ego, Authority, and Failure by Derek Gaunt.
And well, that's who he has on his. Read it.
Yeah, Ego, Authority, Failure. Yeah, you probably should. Using emotional intelligence like a hostage negotiator to succeed as a leader.
Great.
Honestly, I took different things that take away than just that tagline. But that episode, though, where he talks about mastering negotiation, that wasn't with Chris. That was with Derek.
Yeah.
And then they talk about his book. And it was just really good. I love it.
Okay, I'm actually going to lie and say I'm going to add one here.
Yeah.
One of Annie's episodes with Brooke Lidgerwood.
Yeah. I almost said that one.
Oh my gosh. It is so really good. Just about like saying yes to ministry and what that means from a spiritual warfare perspective, which sounds more Christianese than I want it to, but like her... My gosh, she just had so many, like, nuggets to take away and, like, chew on. And I feel like I'm still thinking about that episode. She just, you can tell she's, like, really come out the other side of it because she can talk about it so seamlessly. And I highly recommend that episode.
Yep.
So.
I would definitely retweet that.
Really good. Albums and artists?
Albums and artists. So my top artist, and I ended up seeing them live, was Band Camino.
Love it.
Loved them. They're not new by any stretch of the imagination, no. But I just really got into them this year.
Mm-hmm.
They are, and then I was in DC, like, for work, and then John met me there.
Yeah.
For those who don't know. So we were just walking down the street and saw that they were playing, and it was like a $40 ticket for the floor seat or whatever.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep.
I mean, such a good show. I had heard they weren't as good live, but they exceeded my expectations. Mm-hmm. They were so fun. I also know, like, for some reason, every word, every song they've done, I'm dying at that for myself.
Yeah, that is funny.
Like, they played every song, and I could have told you every word. And I'm there with my husband, John, who's never heard them and is also not eccentric in that sense. No. So me and the girl next to me, who was there by herself, I had so much respect for this girl. She's just standing next to John and I thought she was with the couple next to us. Mm-hmm. I think the couple next to us thought she was with us.
Uh-huh.
And John, I think John might have struck up a conversation with her, I can't remember, but she was just like, she's actually a recruiter for NYU, something, Columbia.
Oh.
She's a recruiter for Columbia. So she was in
fascinating DC. That Columbia needs recruiters.
No, yeah, that's, like, literally what she does. She, like, travels around. So she's in D.C. traveling, like, or you would, whatever. Used to. I don't know if you still do. But she was.
We do.
Mm-hmm. And so she was just, like, on her trip, and she just went. She loves Band Camino, and she just went to this concert by herself. I was like, you are amazing. So her and I just
you know, hung I've done out that,
and
right?
sang their songs. Yeah, and I would have told you you're amazing, too, but I wouldn't have done that. So,
like, do you know who I've seen live?
No way.
By myself?
Was it Dermot Kennedy?
Yep.
Yes.
Who else?
Freaking do it. Oh my gosh.
I'm going to be shocked if you get it.
It wasn't. Her name's on the tip of my tongue.
It is a girl.
Gosh, what's her name? I can see her in my head. Who is it?
I'll give you the first letter.
Okay.
M.
Is that coming to me?
Maggie Rogers.
No, I wasn't going to guess that. Okay. I was going to guess Dua Lipa. That's who I was going to guess.
I haven't seen her. I wish I had.
But you would go by yourself if Dua Lipa was playing.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to because like, she'd be so much more fun with people.
No. Yeah.
But if nobody wanted to go.
You would still go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this girl was just by herself, like, recruiting. So good she didn't her. Have anyone to go with.
Yeah.
And she was like, I just figured I would come here. I was like, wow. Amazing. Mm-hmm. That's not my style. But anyway, I love the Band Camino. They're just, I don't know. They just give me the hype I need. The other one is new. This is a newer album for me. I had not listened to it all year. And then I have a really close runner-up. But I'm listening to this one a lot, and I just think it's so beautiful, and the writing is so well done. Mm. It's that Benjamin William Hastings one, mm-hmm. the one I sent you. Mm-hmm. The artist is Benjamin William Hastings, but his album is literally called Benjamin William Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
So, call the Google. I mean, I literally think he's a better writer than even musician.
Yeah.
Like, definitely even a better writer than musician.
Yeah.
But the writing is just so good, I can't get past it.
He is good.
It is so good. I could, like, reflect on that whole album for, like, forever, probably.
I mean, there's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it's just, it's honest, it's pretty raw, but just good. I don't know. Yeah, it's authentic. I love the writing. It's a good album.
Yep. My number one, I'm going to say, is Remy Wolf. There is nobody more Gen Z and, like, more happening.
Yeah.
Than,
I'm surprised if that's what you're saying.
Remy Wolf.
But, yeah.
I mean,
true.
That girl is wearing a bucket hat and some tie-dye.
Yep.
But we are vibing.
Yep.
To her.
It is a vibe.
She's so fun.
Definitely a vibe.
She was summer for me. For sure.
Okay, yeah. So was Ben Camino.
Yeah.
Summer.
And then the second person I'm going to say is Jensen McRae. I don't know if I have... I go back and forth between, like, being a lyrical person and not. Like, sometimes I really, like, do not hear lyrics. Like, I just... Okay. I just hear the beat and love the whole moment. Not necessarily, like, what is being said.
Uh-huh.
But she is, like, a dagger to the heart in terms of lyrics.
Okay.
Like, she has a song called White Boy. And I just... She's black.
Sure.
So, like, you know, her whole album, Are You Happy Now, is...
Oh,
incredible.
Yeah, I do like that one. Her name didn't come to me, but I forgot I love that album.
She's got a song that is called My Ego Dies at the End.
Yeah.
And she's got a song called Machines. She is just an incredible lyricist.
Yep.
So I would say she's my second. And then my runner-up is Lizzie McAlpine.
Mm.
I love her. She is kind of a sad, moody chick, and she's great.
Feels right for you.
Yep, it is right for me.
My runner-up was Jack Harlow.
Yes,
Jack Harlow's album, Jack Harlow. So I guess I was really into artists who just named albums after themselves.
Self debut.
<So,
like>, yeah.
Benjamin William Hastings, Jack Harlow.
Yep.
It by no means was his most popular album. He did later release a single called "Lovin'
really.
On Me."
Yeah.
And that was a hit. That was a vibe.
It was a vibe.
So is,
lyrics
not
are
was,
actually
is.
So jarring.
They're
so jarring.
That's one of those ones where I'm listening to the beat. Like, if I were to, you know, like, rap the lyrics a lot, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, no,
right.
It's not ideal.
Uh-huh, but
it's
man, I work ideal. Out to it and
but
can
it
do
is,
that.
It feels fun.
It so feels fun. It's such a vibe.
Yeah.
His album, though, Jack Harlow, is, like, another one where the lyrics just kind of hit. Like, he's got some... He's just so smooth. That's what I love about him.
Yeah, he is.
I just feel like he's a very smooth...
He reminds me of Mac Miller.
He does. Very Mac Miller-ish to me. White boy. He compares himself to Eminem a lot, but I'm like, you have more
no,
of a Mac vibe.
Yes.
And
Eminem
so,
doesn't have as much, like, beat.
No. Yeah. I don't know. I guess a couple songs do, but that album was very different than his prior one.
Yeah.
His prior one was, like, party-ish to me.
Mm-hmm.
This one, he got, like, deep in his feels, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There was one on there. I need to, like, try and find it now, but actually, there was a couple on there. It's funny. None of them are. Yeah, that album just wasn't as... Come Home, the Kids Miss You was way bigger, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which was his first one. Jackman. Oh, I'm totally wrong. What am I saying? Jackman was the album to Jack Harlow.
Mm.
That's the one he released that I'm talking about. They Don't Love It was really good. But It Can't Be is the one I'm talking about. I can't even describe it. But I just remember listening to it and I was like, wow.
Okay, listen with caution.
Yeah.
That's what we've heard here today.
No, it's just like, it's not like Lovin' On Me. It's like, It Can't Be, his whole premise is like, it can't be that I'm just a good rapper. I must just be in the seat because I'm white.
Oh.
So, like, yes. I was like, it can't be that I work twice as hard as the guys next to me. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that.
It's just because I'm a white man that I'm successful. Like, that is, like, the vibe.
Oh, I don't love that.
That's what I'm like. But it's very, I mean, I John and I both listened to that album, like, on repeat.
Oh yeah,
year.
I remember.
And it
that
came
being
up in
John's
both
top.
Of our yeah, it came up in both of our tops on Spotify. And it was good.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, take us home with the products.
The products. Are we gonna go like one for one on this one?
No, we're gonna go two.
Okay.
We're already like way over on time.
I know, I assumed so. So I was like, surely. Okay, I'm gonna do these ones quick. First one is my Ninja air fryer. Mm. Not a regular air fryer, mm-hmm. okay? Not the one with, like, the little handle and you pull it out. Jamie knows I deliberated on the one to get for a very long time.
Yeah.
Ended up calling my mother.
Mom's no best.
Come to find out, every member of my family owns this air fryer and just no one decided to tell me. Until I asked. Oh, Nick's got one, Annette's got one, Lonnie's got one, I got one, Alexis has one. Oh, yeah, you should get this one. Mom. Uh-huh. No one wanted to send me that. Anyway.
Oh, well, honey.
Yeah. It is an air fryer, but, like, it looks more like a little, like, mini oven. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's flat, so you can put, like, pizzas in it. You can put, like, cookies in it. You can mm-hmm. put, it bakes and air fries. It toasts. I have never used my toaster, my oven, barely even my stove since I bought that thing.
Yeah.
The best part is it goes up, like it flips up, mm-hmm. like along the counter. So it like, it doesn't get in your counter space way.
Yeah.
It like sits up against the wall. I mean, my husband has even said, I purchased a lot of things and I tried some crazy. He even said like, this was good. Yeah. Like, yeah.
This was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that was my first one. Mm-hmm. One he feels less inclined to say this was good about.
Yeah.
Is all my skincare.
Oh, you're just lumping it all together?
I figured I'd lump it together that we could talk about each one individually. I'm just kidding. We don't have the time for that. No, my top two I love the most is I got a... Oh, God. I got a red light mask.
Okay. That's made the list. I wondered.
Honestly, I think I have more products I love even more because there's like so many things I've thought to myself, like, I'm so happy for me that I bought this. But you only give me a 24-hour notice, and so I couldn't go back to remembering them. I was about to go through my Amazon finds, so like maybe I could still find a runner-up. Yeah. But anyway, what I am so happy for me that I got was two things, and it was the red light therapy mask, which red light therapy is great for your skin. Helps tighten, prevents wrinkles, all the things. I sit there for 30 minutes. It's good for me, probably. Mm-hmm. Just sit there for 30 minutes because I bought the knockoff one, so I can't walk around with it. I have to have it plugged into the wall. That's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. However, it's red light therapy, and it works, and my face feels like I just got Botox when I'm done, so it's nice and tight. The other thing I like in combination with that is the retinol. It's not quite retinol. It has retinol in it, but it's like dermatology treatment. Mm-hmm. That I use every night on my skin now. Love it. I mean, I hardly have to use foundation anymore or like almost any makeup. If I don't want to, I do.
Yeah.
But I don't have to. I'll like leave those out if I wanted. So those are very quickly my top two.
Proud of you.
My cordless vacuum is my runner up.
Okay. My number one product of 2023, and I bought a lot of things this year. I'm poor. Arguably, okay, is my Kindle.
Yeah, I knew you were
going to say that. I have got my $70 worth out of that sucker. And I'm going to give you a couple life hacks for this. Number one, put a pop socket on the back.
Yes. That changed my life.
And number two, download a bunch of books at the same time from your library and then put it on airplane mode. So then they won't disappear after it's, quote unquote, been returned. They'll still be there.
Hmm.
So I typically will download like 6 to 8 books at a time, read them for a couple months, and then turn my Kindle back on and download more.
Wow, I don't even get my books from a library, so that's new information.
Yeah, get the Libby app, get a library card.
On Kindle? I have a library card.
Yeah. I never buy books for my
Kindle. But you can't like highlight them and take notes.
You can. I checked it.
Yeah. It lets you?
Yeah, I told you this.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
I appreciate that vulnerability. Okay, my second product is something I just received and I'm obsessed with. I knew I would be. I'm all about efficiency, like Ange, and I don't have a lot of time in my life, and I hate mopping. I hate it, okay? I've tried a few different products, and they've been fine, but I got the, I don't actually know how to say it. I think it's Tinco mop. It's the S3. It is a
just like mop, talking about video games.
Vacuum. So it vacuums and mops at the same time. What's unique about this is that it, when the you're not mopping with dirty water. The dirty water goes into its own separate container, so you're always using clean water to clean your floors.
Yeah, that is nice.
I'm telling you, I sent Ange a picture of the dirty water. It was black.
Yeah.
You could not see through that. And that is not a depiction, people, of how bad of a mopper I am. That is a depiction of how good of a mop this machine is. Okay? So let's not get it confused.
It is true. Your floors, you clean more than I do. That's for sure.
I don't know, because you have a house.
Cleaning lady.
Yeah.
That's true.
My two runners-up, number one, a hybrid car. Love it. Get it. You save so much money.
Wow, we're going bougie on the products. Okay, yeah. Get yourself a hybrid car, folks.
More on that later in future episodes. And number four is a food chopper. Man,
yeah,
I love one of those. That is great. I love to make a salad where every piece of my bite is uniform in size. And I love to use a spoon for my salad. That's all.
Oh, man. I did buy so many great things. I'm going through my orders now. The one thing I will say is I love the Simple Modern water bottles. You know I bought a lot of them.
I bought a lot of water bottles.
I was doing 75 hard, like I said. And so you have to drink a crap ton of water a day, just FYI. And none of them worked. Like, none of them stuck with me like Simple Modern does. Like, I'm actually surprised. I didn't bring it only because I knew Jamie brought me water. But I normally have it right next to me.
Uh-huh.
I bring it to work or bring it home. I honestly should buy two and just leave one at work. I don't know.
No, but I think you have enough.
Yeah. But I really did like that simple modern water bottle and just so many others. But we'll have to save them for another time.
It's been quite a year. I personally am very excited about a new year.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people that's like, new year, new me. I'm not really that person. But I am excited for like a clean sheet on a page. Like, let's turn the page to a new one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
It's a Jordan year. No, Kobe. Kobe year.
Yeah. We're ending our Jordan year.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like a Jordan year for me.
Mm-mm.
I'll be honest.
We'll try part two, 2.0 with Kobe.
Stay tuned for more coming up this season. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know what you thought of today's episode by tagging us on social media. This is Trendish. We'll see you soon.